He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
About destruction, don't you know that you can count me out?
Aha, therein lies the rub. As John Lennon sings, when you talk about destruction, therein count me out. Me too. Morning, everybody. Back in the day, as a young man, I was filled with righteous indignation over civil inequity, the Vietnam War. I marched as an activist lawyer. I represented countless protesters. Eventually, that social unrest encouraged necessary federal civil rights legislation, and it helped hasten the end of the Vietnam War. So I get the rage and the hurt that motivates people, people of conscience, to take to the streets or to their campuses to bring about necessary social change, like those who are currently protesting the slave wages paid fast food workers. How many did you say were coming out tonight?
They're saying 15,000.
15,000. Where are they going to be exactly?
They're going to start at Columbus Circle and march down to Times Square.
15,000. Is that going to be like 15,000 generic protesters, or is that like union stuff?
If I had to guess, the unions behind this, it'll probably be a lot of union members, but I imagine sprinkled in there will be fast food workers as well.
And people of conscience, I hope. People of conscience like those marching against alleged police brutality in and around North Charleston, South Carolina, here in New York City, elsewhere, will be joined by one of those marchers. I don't know where exactly they are. Now, do you know South Jersey, they were hitting Trenton?
They were Trenton last night, so it depends on how far they've gotten since they woke up this morning.
Activists, you know this, ladies and gentlemen, even if they are annoying, can help change the world in a positive way. But going back to what John Lennon was just singing about, they can change the world in a positive way unless and until their actions inflict inconvenience and especially injury on innocent people. Innocent people whose support is necessary to bring about the reforms that these protesters are seeking. You see that crap on the Brooklyn Bridge yesterday hurting cops? Give me a break. You're going to hurt a cop? And hurting a cop is some way going to accomplish your social goal? You're going to block traffic? You're going to prevent people who worked all day long from getting home after that long day of work? Or you're going to destroy private property? You're going to deface public property? Take it from a veteran. All these are recipes for achieving the opposite result from the goal that you seek. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get anger. You're going to get disdain. And you're going to get irrelevance. So how do you fix these problems that these folks are complaining about? I'm going to give you my suggestions, and here's where I want you to get involved at 866-HERALDO. I've got suggestions on the issues, the two great issues, the police brutality issue and the income inequality issue. In terms of, or before I get to my seat, let me just take one call here. It's Jim in Jersey. What's up, Jim? Hello, buddy, you're on. What's up? My clicker's not working here, guys. All right, here to police brutality. Here's what you have to do about police brutality. To get people to want what you want. Police brutality is perceived to be an epidemic in minority communities. They don't trust local cops often, and they don't trust local prosecutors often to investigate those local cops. They all know each other. My suggestion, and I made this yesterday, and I slept on it, and I feel it even more firmly today, mandatory federal investigations of each and every police killing, regardless of circumstance, regardless of jurisdiction. In other words, every single police killing for this purpose only should be presumed to be a civil rights violation sufficient to initiate a Justice Department probe. Every police killing is a federal matter unless and until the evidence indicates otherwise. I want a federal assistant U.S. attorney to investigate every single police killing, regardless of the race of the victim, regardless of the race of the cop, regardless of the jurisdiction, regardless of the circumstances. Every single police killing automatically triggers a federal probe. All right, now we're hearing, here's from the march. This is Linda Sarsour, Linda Sarsour, co-chair of the March to Justice March. You're on, and Linda, welcome. Where are you from?
My name is Linda, and I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
And where are you right now, and describe your circumstances right now?
We are walking in Philadelphia here on a main street, a kind of a strip mall area. We have about 60 marchers who have come all the way from New York City, so they've been marching. This is their third day marching. We have people of all ages. We have someone who actually, Reverend Herbert Daughtry, who's 85 years old, who has actually done a similar march back in 1992. We got young people, Muslims, Christians, Jews, people of all faiths that are here.
And how many did you say are with you, Linda?
About 60 right now.
And how are the onlookers responding to you?
It actually depends on where we are on the route. I mean, there were some places when we got off the outer bridge of New Jersey, we had people come out of their homes and give us water. We've had other people, spit profanity at us, and other people telling us to go get jobs. And then we had people honking their horns and telling us, keep doing what you're doing. We're also stopping in communities. We stopped in Newark and in Trenton, New Jersey, and met with communities and having local dialogues with folks and believing in what we're doing and supporting us and kind of raising the morale of the people in the communities where these police killings are occurring.
So are you blocking traffic? Are you inconveniencing people? Or are you obeying the laws on pedestrian conduct?
We are absolutely inconveniencing the people. There's traffic. We're closing down one car lane. And Geraldo, this is what it's about. If you're going to tell me that, you know, making you a bit uncomfortable because you're going to get to your job about half an hour later, but there are mothers in this country who are going to sleep without their children, their husbands, their boyfriends.
But Linda, don't you think that every single person you are inconveniencing will be someone who opposes you, who instinctively will be among those spitters and the ugly talk, the anger? People live lives, you know, a lot of people, they're taught, they're strung out, they're hustling to make ends meet. And if you inconvenience that ordinary person, Linda, how does that accomplish your goal?
It puts the issue right at the forefront. A lot of these people, Geraldo, this is not impacting them directly. So for them, they don't see this as important. We're talking about people's right to live, to walk in their communities and not have to fear being shot by a police officer.
I have two thoughts, Linda, and you sound like such a sincere and intelligent person. I absolutely, in substantive terms, agree with the goal that you seek, but I absolutely disagree as a veteran of these marches. I just think that the more ordinary folks that you screw around with their lives, I think the harder it will be to accomplish the goal that all of us want, Linda.
I think those are the minority, and those are not the people that we're trying to convince. I'm not trying to convince 340 million Americans. I'm trying to convince those in the middle who are not directly impacted. And the majority of the responses we've
received. But if you make them late for work, or if you make their commute home twice as long, you're not going to influence them. I think in the way. Then I've got to let you go. Listen, I appreciate that. I want you to join me. What were you saying? I'm sorry.
I was saying that, you know, we're doing this march through a community where this is not an everyday thing. So convincing someone's life for one day is not the same as someone who's not on this earth anymore.
All right, well, it's easy enough for you to say, unless you're the person being inconvenienced, but I appreciate you coming on. Thanks. Okay, what about my thoughts on mandatory federal probes each and every time there is a police killing? He is Dave in New Jersey. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Geraldo. It's been a while since I've spoken with you. You know, I got to say that I believe that the majority of these protests are misguided. You know, yes, they are bad cops, you know, and there's good and bad in every profession, but these are professional hustlers. These are professional victimologists who have nothing better to do than to cause hatred between cops and citizens. And I feel that what we really need to do is to isolate the race demagogues and the anti-police haters who are making it impossible for the overwhelming majority of people in black and minority areas.
I get it, David. You know, I think that you're really a together, sensitive, and intelligent person, but I think you cannot ignore the widespread perception at least, the reality we can argue, but the perception at least is that police brutality is on the rise, and it's targeting minorities in a way that, you know, is unsettling. And I think, listen, you have a mandatory federal probe. They look at it. A good assistant U.S. attorney can tell you in 5 minutes whether or not there's reason to delve deeper into the facts and circumstances. And if there is reason to delve deeper, then someone's got a legitimate beef, maybe. Why not do this? Why not?
This is a WABC News Bulletin.
A verdict has been reached. A verdict has been reached in the Aaron Hernandez murder trial. Let's listen to the jury.
Out of four persons, by which theory or theories, deliberate premeditation and or extreme atrocity or cruelty?
Extreme atrocity or cruelty.
Indictment 2013-983-B, charging the defendant Aaron Hernandez with unlawful possession of a firearm while not at home or work. What say you, Madam Foreperson? Is the defendant not guilty or guilty?
Guilty.
Indictment 2013-983-C.
Hernandez guilty.
Aaron Hernandez with unlawful possession of ammunition. What say you, Madam Foreperson? Is the defendant not guilty or guilty?
Guilty.
Aaron Hernandez, guilty of first-degree murder, guilty of under the worst possible circumstances, guilty of the weapons possession, guilty of almost everything. As he sits in the courtroom, his lawyer standing around him, he refuses to stand or has not stood for whatever reason. Or maybe he sat down when the first guilty verdict came back, looking very stoic. As his family sobs hysterically in the first two rows in the courtroom there in Fall River, Massachusetts, Aaron Hernandez, the young man who had everything to live for, a $40 million contract, a star tight end with the New England Patriots, found guilty of killing the semi-pro associate of his, friend of his, who was dating his fiance's brother. No, it was his fiance's girlfriend, the guy was dating his fiance's girlfriend, Aaron Hernandez, guilty, it seems, of all charges. There was some speculation.
Well, you're surprised by that, right? I think you were thinking this wouldn't happen this way, right?
Well, I thought that if it went through today, and, you know, I didn't take a position, remember, because I was very ambiguous about, I thought that there was a circumstantial case. It was much more convincing until the defense started whittling away at it. But still, there were very few ways he could explain destroying the surveillance system in his own home, the shots of him with the weapon that was probably used, with all, you know, the fact that, you know, halfway through his His attorney kind of admitted that he was there on the scene but didn't pull the trigger. You know, it really seemed hinky to me. I didn't know why the jury waited so long or took so long to reach this conclusion. If they had returned it yesterday, it would have been a slam dunk. But here they are. So he's guilty of first-degree murder, guilty on unlawful weapons and ammunition possession. Aaron Hernandez, his life effectively over now. He is guilty. They didn't seek the death penalty, so he'll be spending the rest of his natural life behind bars, a 25-year-old, at a Bristol, hard life Bristol, Connecticut. As I recall, came up gangbanger, took the kid out of the hard ghetto, and didn't get the ghetto out of the kid. Aaron Hernandez, guilty. His family bereft. But, you know, what goes around comes around. Aaron Hernandez is guilty. All right, let me get back to the issue that we have been speaking about. So the jury, just to give you the summary here, seven women, five men, they deliberated 35 and a half hours before rendering this verdict. Life in prison without parole is what he will undoubtedly receive. Aaron Hernandez, now history in terms of the free world. Why did he kill the guy? I mean, that was the thing. They could never prove a motive. That was the weakness of the prosecution case from the get-go. Why did he kill him? Because he insulted him at a nightclub? Usually, if you have an insult kind of killing, oh, he stepped on my toe or he flirted with my girlfriend. Those things happen immediately, you know,
right?
Action reaction, and that fast response, that instinctive response, that heat of the moment response, often can be how you beat a murder charge. That's how I think Slager, the cop in Charleston, will beat the murder charge, because it was a spur of the moment, or provocation, then a reaction. But in the Aaron Hernandez case, it seemed like a cool, premeditated, deliberated assassination, and the whole issue is whether or not they proved it. So I'm not at all shocked by it. I think when you look at him, he still is showing very little emotion
at all. Yeah, it's odd. He's just sort of licking his lips.
That's why he played balls too. That's why he played football too. He's kind of a cool, cold customer, tough as nails. But Aaron Hernandez, guilty of first degree murder, the New England Patriot tight end. Now looking to spend the rest of his natural life behind bars without the possibility of parole. That is the harshest sentence that can be imposed. They did not go for the death penalty. So Hernandez,
you know what I think you're seeing, too, is as he sat down, he's actually looking back at his family, trying to console them. You can see him. His lips are moving. He can't see what he's saying to them. But I think he's trying to console his family members that are weeping behind him. You'll see as they move the shot up, but...
Well, Hernandez is history now. Sad, tragic. I want to go back to my topic, the topic that I've been talking about, how to fix what, you know, you've got the streets alive with protesters. Nome reports 15,000 or more will turn out this evening at Columbus Circle here in the big city, marching down to Times Square. They are protesting income inequality. We got the mayor, Mayor Giuliani, coming up in just scant minutes. I'm going to ask him what he thinks about people taking to the streets. But remember my main point today. My main point is that activists can help change the world in a positive way, unless and until their actions inflict this inconvenience and injury on innocent people. Innocent people whose support is absolutely necessary to bring about the reforms that the protesters are seeking. I mean, hurting cops is nothing. It's nowhere. Why do you do that? I mean, how do you expect that to help you? You hurt a cop. You prevent people from getting home after a long day of work. How does that help you? Do you think that person's going to back you when push comes to shove? Destroying private property? Defacing public property? These are all recipes for achieving the absolute opposite result from the goal sought. What you will achieve is anger in the public, disdain in the public, and irrelevance. How many people do you report were arrested on the Brooklyn Bridge?
20 were arrested yesterday.
And how many cops were hurt?
2.
So again, police brutality, how do you fix it? Listen to me on this one. This is a good idea. And we'll ask Mayor Giuliani, who was, of course, a crime-busting United States attorney. A mandatory federal investigation of each and every police killing, regardless of circumstance, regardless of other jurisdiction. Every single police killing for this purpose and this purpose only is presumed a civil rights violation sufficient to initiate a Justice Department probe. That's my idea. I also have a very strong feeling on this issue of income inequality. I mean, the bottom line is any politician attempting to use the growing income inequality as an election issue who doesn't also support a dramatic raise in minimum wage is a bogus blowhard who cannot be believed. More on that, the mayor.
On the air, online, and on iHeart.com. We are 77 WABC.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues. Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
Welcome back. 39 minutes after 10 o'clock. Without further ado, America's mayor joins us. Rudy Giuliani. Mayor Giuliani, how are you doing?
Geraldo, how are you?
I miss you, man. Where you been?
Well, I've been all over the world, actually. I was in the Middle East for about 6 days in Dubai. I was in Israel. I've been in Colombia.
Colombia, wow. I spent a lot of time there.
I've been working with the Colombian government for like 8-10 years reducing crime, and I'm really proud of it.
Oh, Colombia is a real success story. Did they react there to the Secret Service sex scandal and having prostitutes and all the rest of that?
Well, you know, there are diversions and there are problems, but there used to be something like 127 murders per 100,000. It's down to like 29, which by American standards isn't good, but by Latin American standards, it's very, very good. And the economy has gone from like the fifth to the third biggest in Latin America. So I think under Uribe and Santos, the country has really made a turnaround.
It's good to hear. It's such a beautiful country. The most beautiful women on earth.
And
so when you were gone, Mayor de Blasio refused to endorse Hillary Clinton. What's your comment on that?
That's a pretty good
editorial right there.
Geraldo, you've got to be as confused as I am. Last time I remember, he was our campaign manager.
So how does that happen? Do you think that's premeditated?
I mean, I'm not an expert in the internals of the Democratic Party. I guess the mayor wants to align himself more with the only thing I can think of is he wants to align himself more with the progressive wing of the party, right? And Hillary is not by a lot of Democrats is not considered progressive enough. I don't get it, but.
See, I think it's all premeditated, and they say, okay, you're going to do it this week, you're going to do it this month.
It could be, but it didn't come at a good time for her. You know, she didn't get a good rollout.
She did not. And, you know, one thing I was thinking about, you've been on Saturday Night Live. For the millennial generation who missed her as First Lady and as Senator,
even as
Secretary of State, Saturday Night Live, very rough on Hillary. Do you think that's going to hurt her the way it hurt Sarah Palin?
It will. You know, both Roger Ailes and David Garth, who are my two political consultants at different times, had the same theory, which is wouldn't apply exactly to Hillary. When they don't know about you, it's the first thing they learn that becomes really important. And then the second, and then after that, if both of them are bad, it's hard to overcome it. For a lot of people, you know, we know Hillary, but for the millennial generation, Hillary is just like a fog. So the first thing they hear about Hillary is there's something sneaky about her. There's something, you know, that's not a good rollout. Compare that with the Marco Rubio, even the Cruz rollout may have appealed more to the right wingers, but for what he wanted to accomplish, I think Rubio and Cruz accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. She didn't.
She didn't. All right. So we're going to ask you as we get closer and as the election really heats up, I wanted you to come back and give us your expert advice. But right now, I want to ask you about something going on right now. This evening, 15,000 demonstrators are going to march from Columbus Circle to Times Square. Last night, at least 20 arrested. Cops got roughed up on the Brooklyn Bridge. What do you think about, back in the day, I protested the Vietnam War, protested civil rights and all the rest of it. Now you're having a lot of people inconvenienced, cops hurt. What's your take on the unrest?
Here are the two rules I think that are important. The constitutional rule, obviously, is you have an absolute right to protest as long as you don't create violence and as long as you don't unduly interfere with the rights of other people. That's the second part. When you take a bridge, you unduly interfere with the rights of other people. I never allowed people to take the bridge. They had a walk on the walkway. I went to court. I got injunctions to stop it when the taxis wanted to do it. You were allowed to demonstrate on the sidewalk. The streets belong to all the people of New York, not to the people who are demonstrating right wing, left wing, middle wing. So
does Mayor Rudy Giuliani believe Mayor de Blasio is being too lenient?
Yes. Nobody should ever take the Brooklyn Bridge. It doesn't belong to the protesters. Any point you're going to make about, I don't know, I think it's unemployment this time, right, today. You want to make your point about unemployment, you can make that point on the sidewalk. You don't have to take the Brooklyn Bridge where an ambulance may be going across to get somebody to Bellevue, because the only place where they have the equipment that we need to save this person's life is Bellevue Hospital.
So why is de Blasio doing that, knowing what you just said?
I don't know. Because maybe he never thought it out. Maybe the guy never ran anything, so maybe he never thought it out. Maybe he never, as an executive, he never thought out. There's a difference between all those progressive views I had and then running a city the way, for example, Rahm Emanuel did. And, you know, look at the trouble he got into, but he got through it. You and I are old enough to remember the Koch transformation. Koch was one of the most left-wing members of Congress. People forget. I was working in the Ford administration, and he was a nemesis as far as, you know, left-wing position. He ran against Cuomo. He moved to the right on the death penalty to win. And all of a sudden, by the time he was mayor 3 years, he was what I would regard as a center, maybe even center-right Democrat.
Me too. I think that's a fair analysis.
All out of practicality. All out of practicality.
I don't see de Blasio budging yet. Well, at least he has Bratton as his police commissioner. But let me ask you about this solution that I've come up with to the other big demonstration today. They're marching to Washington, and they're having, a nationwide protest against alleged police brutality. Why not, as a former U.S. attorney, you can give us your expertise in that area as well. I suggest a mandatory federal investigation of each and every police killing, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the jurisdiction. Make it automatic. They can look at it in a fashion. They can dismiss it federal involvement immediately. But just to give people some assurance that these cases are being investigated evenly, objectively,
they actually do. Maybe they should just publicize what they do more. Every police shooting, unless it's the most routine, you know, the guy's holding up a store and there's a shootout and the guy gets killed. But every police shooting that occurred from 1981 until 2001, I was aware of. The first half of that I was aware of as the U.S. attorney, because every time there was a police shooting, there was a backup civil rights investigation done by my office, the U.S. Attorney's Office, and the FBI. So it is done right now. When there is a police shooting, unless it's an obvious shooting in the line of duty, most obvious, even then you have to close a file. The FBI and the Justice Department opens a file on it. You track the case. You then evaluate the case afterwards, and if it wasn't handled properly, you bring a federal case. And that is an obligation of every U.S. attorney in all 94 districts.
See, I think what has to happen is not only publicizing.
They could make that more public.
There has to be an announcement that the lead agency, at least initially, is the federal government. That there is a U.S. attorney that's looking at every killing, and then at a certain point, as you say, the stick-up of the 7-Eleven, a guy leaving shootout, he gets killed. Then it's dismissed in 10 minutes. If not, then there's a more, instill confidence in people that the police are being watched by someone.
I think then you would have a real argument by the police that they're being treated very differently than everybody else who allegedly commits crimes in this country.
But I think they have to be.
Well, I don't think they should be. I think they should be treated exactly the same. I think, like, if you're a celebrity, you should be treated exactly the same as a poor person. If you're a police officer, you should be treated exactly the same.
So you don't think there can be a federal presumption of a civil rights violation that is easily rebuttable?
Not. God forbid. Then what happens to the presumption of innocence, which applies to every police officer is a citizen also.
But what I'm talking about is the presumption of jurisdiction, not the presumption of guilt.
I don't agree with that, Geraldo. I think it should be a local investigation, just like everybody else in that jurisdiction.
Even though Kings County and Staten Island County are going to, have different results.
Same thing. then there's the Justice Department. Don't you think Holder would have brought the case in Ferguson if there was a case to bring?
Oh, I definitely do.
Don't you think he'd bring the case in Staten Island if he thought he had a case to bring?
I definitely do. I absolutely do.
So?
So I think that Holder has to announce the day it happens. Okay, we're going to check it out.
And whoever
the U.S. attorney
is. Report explaining that he can or that he can't.
Okay, on that regard, and I got a million things to talk about, but I'm out of time. Loretta Lynch, still not voted on.
Absolute outrage.
Outrage.
It's going to come back to bite the Republicans.
Why are they doing it? Why?
Right in the hand. If we end up with a President Rubio, a President Bush, a President Walker, or a President, I don't know who, any Republican, pick one, Cruz.
You don't have to name them all. We get the idea.
We're going to have the same problem. I mean, they're going to do the same thing to us. I wrote an op-ed piece that hasn't gotten published yet that basically says this is our opportunity. This is our opportunity to break the Hatfields and the McCoys. You know, that goes back to Bork or maybe before Bork or whenever. This is one of the things they don't know where it started. They torture our nominees. We torture their nominees over things that have nothing to do with them.
Nothing. Nothing. I'm not a big Loretta Lynch fan because of what she did to my pal Michael Grimm. But I'm telling you, she's qualified. She's been approved and voted on by the Senate to be U.S. attorney twice.
I've been on both sides of cases with her. Both as mayor and now in private practice. I'll tell you what she is. She doesn't always make the right decision. Neither did I, but she's very fair.
Very fair. I agree with that. I got to let you go, Mayor.
Okay.
Nice to
always
hear your voice
again. Geraldo.
All right.
Oh, okay. And
I'm glad you're with Trump there at Ferry Point. I like that. great improvement in the Bronx there. All right. Thanks,
Take
Mayor.
Care. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Just a couple of seconds. I thank you for your patience holding on. But my point on police brutality and the mandatory federal investigation, I want to be very clear on that. I am doing nothing to affect the presumption of innocence of any cop in a cop shooting. But I want a presumption of federal jurisdiction. A presumption of jurisdiction. That's not a constitutional issue. That's what I want when it comes to police killings. I think it'll go a long way to restoring confidence and showing people that the police 99% of the time are right.
Did you know by age 50, half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more urges to urinate, longer bathroom trips, waking at night to urinate, or issues with sex. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-316-0281. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Super Beta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to urinate, improve bladder emptying, reduce waking at night to urinate, and improve quality of life. This Super Beta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-316-0281. That's 1-800-316-0281. Call 1-800-316-0281.
I know by now you're thinking about hair restorations, but you got a lot of concerns. Things that are preventing you from making the move that I made a month of Sundays ago. Will I have a big scar? How long is the recovery? Is this going to be like a Black & Decker power drill putting plugs into my head? I understand, but you need to discover, like I did, New York Hair MD. And the good news is New York Hair MD can give you a natural-looking thick head of hair that's yours permanently. And some people are back to work the very next day. This is not the old fashioned surgery. There's no triage. It's the amazing NeoGraft procedure, and I got it myself just last year. Before that, my medulla and cerebellum was starting to really look like a chrome dome. Look, call for your free consultation today. 800-755-HAIR. Why not wake up each day feeling younger? 800-755-HAIR. Imagine not trying to cover up the bald spots on your head each and every day. Visit NewYorkHairMD.com and change your life, or simply call them at 800-755-HAIR.
This is a special announcement for all Americans who owe back taxes to the IRS or state. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline set up especially for you. This hotline will give you free information on how you can legally reduce or eliminate your tax debt. Call the Consumer Tax Hotline today at 1-800-282-6441. Grab a pen or put the number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-282-6441. When you call, you will speak with qualified companies that will tell you how...
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
When a man loves a woman, can't keep his mind on nothing else. He changed the world for the good thing he's found. If she is bad, he can see it. She can do no wrong. Turn his back on his best friend if he put her down.
One of the great love songs ever. I mean, I wish I could count how many times this song played in the background in my intimate life.
This was your song, how your go-to
one
song.
Of those,
you
one of those.
With this song? Is that
Percy
saying?
Sledge and Johnny Mathis. 1966, he recorded it. Percy passed on Tuesday. Natural causes. He was in hospice care. I don't know what the natural cause would be, but he's just 74 years old, Percy Sledge. Great singer. So we've been talking today, 8 minutes after 11 here at 77 WABC. Welcome back. Beautiful, beautiful spring day out there. Took my bicycle to work yesterday. I'm going to be doing that on a regular basis now. Get out, get some exercise. That's how you stretch out that life well lived. Talking about protests, lots of action in the city tonight. 15,000 or more will march from Columbus Circle to Times Square, screwing traffic up for the rush home. You've got a situation where, these protesters just don't understand that hurting cops, preventing people from getting home after a long day's work, destroying private property, defacing public property. Those are recipes for achieving exactly the opposite result for the goal that you seek. I mean, it'll generate anger, disdain, irrelevance. So in terms of police brutality, I've been advocating my position. An assumption of jurisdiction in the federal government whenever there's a police killing. Presumption of federal jurisdiction. Income inequality, I'll get to that. I'm going to get to your calls right now, momentarily. I just want to say that in keeping with something I mentioned with Rudy Giuliani, Mayor Giuliani, in the last half hour, about this, the Senate holding up the confirmation vote on Loretta Lynch. They're going to vote her down, But to use procedural, devious tricks to prevent a vote, that's lame. That's lame. I am no Loretta Lynch fan. But she has been confirmed twice as a U.S. attorney. She deserves a vote. And now we're hearing that Al Sharpton's group, did you hear this? No? That they're going to have starting today, a hunger strike. A hunger strike in Washington, D.C. I don't know exactly where they're going to be, but they're going to have a hunger strike. They're going to be fasting a la Martin Luther King Jr., Mahatma Gandhi, Cesar Chavez, my mentor.
You know, back in the day when Al Sharpton was wearing that track suit and the medallion around his neck, I would have said fasting would have been good for him. But now he's so skinny, I'd be worried what would happen if he went on
a
fast.
I think it's good for them. I hope nobody's health is impacted. But the damn Senate, and this is something that, remember what Rudy Giuliani said, former Republican candidate for the nomination for president. As a Republican, Rudy Giuliani said that this is going to come back to bite Republicans on the ass. It is. The first black woman ever nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States, and you won't let the Congress vote on her? You won't let the Senate vote on her? And that's supposed to somehow endear you to the voters? Come on. Get over it. So before I give you my idea on income inequality, you've been very patient. So let me come to you. I'm going to begin with my buddy Gino. Gino in the Bronx. Hey, mate, you're on. What's up?
It took 6 months for me of listening to your show before I finally got the call up to agree with you on something.
Yo,
on anything. Okay?
Stop the presses.
So now you're going to hear me out.
Go ahead.
We're good, bad, or indifferent. I agree with you. There has to be peaceful protest. The Martin Luther King Jr. is turning over in his grave because your buddy Al Sharpton has defamed everything that this man stood for. Peaceful, nonviolent protest. When you got anarchists, Bolsheviks, and communists, and convicted felons burning down the town of Ferguson, Missouri, and then they inspired one of their mutants to go out and murder two police officers here in New York City in cold blood, that's what harms their protests more than anything else I can think of. If they had just done it peacefully, if they had not burned down Ferguson, if they had not made martyrs out of convicted felons and would-be thugs like Michael Brown, they'd have some sympathy for me, because I too believe in the First Amendment. I believe that you do have the right to peaceful protest, to petition your government for grievances. It's in the First Amendment. But you don't have a First Amendment right to rape, pillage, plunder, and kill innocents. You don't have a right to burn down people's cars or property. You don't have a right to obfuscate and to block traffic. You will get arrested. And if you put your hands on a cop, I don't care who the hell you are, you're going to jail.
I'm with you. Gino, what a great call. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Michael, you're on the line from New Jersey. What's up, Michael? Hi.
Hi. Thank you, Geraldo, for this opportunity. I just want to say, when it comes to income inequality, I do not blame my private sector employer, because I am living this income inequality. The exploitation by these 9% of the town, city, state employees, public servants, has to stop. They are the reason why the cost of living is so high here in the Northeast Coast. My tolls, my property taxes, NTA, NJT, gas tax, sales tax, these tax burdens...
You must live in New Jersey.
Yeah, I do.
But yeah, me too, man, and I agree with you. Highest property taxes in the land, the highest percentage of people leaving the state, of any state in the union. And Chris Christie is running for president with the aura of a man who can manage. I don't know. All right, now before we take any more calls, let me give you my position before I lose time here. Let me give you my position on these protests about income inequality. And the $15, I forget, what's the slogan, the 15 something, something for 15 is catchy, I forgot it, but $15 is what they're asking for. I'm not going there yet. But I think the president of the United States is absolutely right that $10.10 is a good starting place immediately for a federal minimum wage, which is now $7.25 an hour, which is, as I've often said, what I pay for coffee and a bagel with cream cheese and olives every morning. So you can't work an hour to pay for your damn breakfast. I think that's very, very unfair. So you have the federal minimum wage, which was, the dates back to 2009. So peg it to that amount, which is about $10 now. So it's about 10 bucks. Let's just say with inflation, everything is $10. Pass the president's $10.10 an hour federal minimum wage requirement. In other words, no state can be below that. Index that to the official cost of living so it never varies. And no politician has to be engaged or involved in it at all. It's the office of the budget office, congressional budget office, that they determine the cost of living. So once you get that COLI, that cost of living index, you get the $10.10 minimum wage, you peg it to that index no matter what happens in life. If the cost of living is increasing, your minimum wage is also increasing automatically. Congress has nothing to do with it. The president of the United States has nothing to do with it. It is automatic. Every year, as the cost of living ticks up, your wage ticks up. The cost of living dips, that's the way, luck of the draw. Just like Social Security, you've got to index it. Official cost of living, that's the minimum wage. But the $7.25, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what kind of business you run. If you can't afford to pay 10 bucks an hour to your employee, then you shouldn't be in that business. $7.25 is not a living wage. It is a slave wage. These are wage slaves. And what really irks me, I love my colleagues at Fox. And at Fox Business, I love going on Fox Business. But when these guys use against the Democrats the issue of growing income inequality. Why? Because Obama's the president and it's his fault. So the look at the income inequality and what it's doing to the quote-unquote middle class. And then those same people are against a raise in minimum wage. Forget about it. You can't be both. You can't complain about income inequality at the same time you are against raising the minimum wage. That's the biggest source of income inequality. The suppression of the lowest wage worker has an impact on everybody who gets paid on an hourly basis. Everybody. It's not just the $7.25 an hour person. That person gets a bump, and then the $12 an hour person wants a bump in the fifth, as they should. As they should. But with wages suppressed the way they are, you are entrenching people in a kind of poverty that is inescapable. You've got to allow the minimum wage to grow along with the cost of living. And you've got to make up for the gap now, this 6-7 years that we've had the same minimum wage as the cost of living has increased. Peg it to the cost of living as soon as you raise it, and then forget about it. 18 minutes after, I'm coming back to your calls at 866-HERALDO. I am anxious to hear from you.
Live and local, the Tri-State's most important issues with Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
So today, a lot of things are being commemorated or memorialized. It's the second year anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing. And, you know, I'm hoping that that Tsarnaev kid gets life without the possibility of parole rather than the death penalty. I think it's totally excessive. It's the 150-year anniversary of Lincoln's death. He was, was assassinated 150 years ago yesterday. The shot from John Wilkes Booth in the Ford Theater was yesterday. Lincoln survived for about 24 hours, and then he succumbed 150 years ago today. It's also tax day. I mean, do you still file on April 15th?
I don't know that anybody does anymore. It used to be you'd see people at the post office right up until midnight.
Yeah, right. That was the whole big thing. You had to get the postmark before midnight.
Now everybody does it online.
When was the last time you sent a letter, period?
Right. It's true. That's why the post office is so much trouble.
Louis, you're on the line. Thank you for calling 866-HERALDO. What's on your mind at 26 minutes after 11 o'clock?
How are you doing, Geraldo? My name's Lou. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm a New York City detective. I also served overseas 2 tours of combat. And you know what? I would like to chime in twice on both your topics. One, you want to pay people $15 minimum wage like everybody downtown Brooklyn protesting? And guess what? Give back your government benefits. You want $15? Then pay for cash. And when you're in Pathmark buying your groceries the same way I do and when I had to support my family.
Secondly, okay, that's a good point. And your second point, Louis.
Second, you know, you want a federal investigation for law enforcement.
I do. I want the presumption of federal jurisdiction.
Then, you know what, Geraldo? That's fine. But guess what? When the guy that shoots the cop, he should be looked at federally also. And then if convicted, he should get the death penalty. And guess what? You start giving these guys death penalties for killing cops, and you'll have it stop on both sides. They'll have cops stop shooting people, and people stop shooting at cops.
Well, I don't know about that one, but I want to talk about you. Where did you serve? Tell me a little bit about your service in the Army.
Iraq, Afghanistan. I was in the Marines.
Oh, the Marines. All right. Once you're in the Marines, you're always in the Marines. So what do you think about Iraq today? Tough, huh?
It is. It's a tough issue because we had a certain time frame, a certain window of opportunity that, you know, different tactics should have been employed. And now, you know, between ISIS and every other group that wants to make a name for themselves, it's hard.
Let me ask you this, Louis. I don't mean to, you know, I don't know you. I didn't know you were going to call, but I appreciate your service. When you get the vibe in the street now from just like ordinary folks and they know that you're on the job, how do they respond to you?
What do you mean, Geraldo?
Just, I mean, are they friendly? Are they supportive? Are they antagonistic? Are they hostile? How are just plain folks responding to NYPD these days?
Believe it or not, the what I'm seeing is the younger group between probably the ages of 14 to 18 are very aggressive towards police. And, you know, I think it comes with, you know, when people start working and putting a little cash in their pocket, they respect police more. And I'm seeing between, you know, 20 and so forth, you know, you get treated a little different.
You know, I was with the sergeants, had their big party this last Friday. And, you know, I could see a lot of them were very hurt by a lot of the bad attitude. And I think you're right. It is the young ones looking to score with their attitude with their buddies. But I respect you. I appreciate your service both as United States Marine and now as a city cop and detective. It's dangerous work.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure, Larry, quick. Yeah.
So you know what? And the politicians do have to back us up. They do have to back us up. New York City, the unions, they have to back us up. Because you know what? Yes, out of 35,000 cops, you're going to get someone that's bad.
New York's biggest issues right now. This is Geraldo, 77 WABC.
That's the Michael Bolton remake of Percy Sledge's great song. I mean, Percy had a huge hit with it when he first sung it, the original, 1966. Michael Bolton had a number one hit with it in 1991, and it's pretty good.
No, it's not.
It's pretty good. No, I mean, I'm not crazy about... I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about Michael Bolton, but he really... He was as good as he could ever be in that song.
I don't know, yeah. No comparison to Percy Sledge. Come on.
Well, you, I'm not saying it's better than Percy Sledge. I'm saying it's a pretty damn good song. And he deserves.
He should stick to those commercials, those cable commercials he does.
Remember, he was on Glee with me. So
oh, right. You have to be nice.
And at least Wheels Wedding. We were together then, too. All right. 2 points. I'm getting to your calls right now at 866-ORALDO. Number one, on police brutality. I want a presumption of federal jurisdiction in each and every police killing. Some will just be, as the Mayor Giuliani pointed out in the last hour, just routine 7-Eleven stick-up shootout. The guy gets killed. Too bad. The feds take a 30-second look at it and move on. But I want a U.S. attorney to check out every police killing in this country, and that's going to go a long way to restoring confidence in policing. They'll be even-handed. They'll be objective. One standard, one size fits all, regardless of you come from the north, south, east, west, a presumption of federal jurisdiction and police brutality and income inequality. Give the folks the raise from $7.25 to $10.10 that the president has proposed. Do that immediately and then peg it, index it, official cost of living index. The 10-10 will automatically go up as the cost of living index, the official cost of living index goes up. That's the way you begin to eliminate this gross income inequality that we have. Orlando's on the line. Thank you for calling, Orlando. What's up?
How you doing, Geraldo?
I'm doing good. It's a beautiful day, and I'm going to go out there and ride my bicycle. What's up?
Okay. I just wanted to comment on the last speaker, the officer. I just feel like when he spoke, he was being condescending when he said that they should give up the benefit. I believe that raising the minimum wage, that's the whole point.
I agree with that. And I was going to say, I didn't want to belabor the point, but I'm glad you picked it up. I was going to say that, you know, there are strict limits. I don't know how strictly they are enforced, but I assume they're pretty strict on income earned in terms of the benefits that you receive. So if your income passes the threshold, then your benefits are similarly affected. I think there's a system in place as long as people play fair. But I agree. How you doing in life, Orlando?
I'm good. I'm an ambulance driver. I transport.
So what do you do in traffic? What do you do with all this terrible traffic?
You got to be patient.
So what? Well, what do you got? You have someone dying in the back of your vehicle.
Well, most of the time I don't have people that sickly. You know, I have veterans that go to day centers and listen to music.
Oh, so you transport people who are handicapped.
Right.
I see.
Right.
So it's not an ambulance. It's more of a. I see you busing. But anyway, good for you. Drive safely. I appreciate it. Here is Jay in New Jersey. What's up, Jay?
Hey, Geraldo. No, my point is, when Gabby Gifford was shot, the people managed to bring him down. Average citizen with no formal training was able to apprehend him and bring him in with no incident. And through security all across the United States, unarmed, just like the Guardian Angels, are able to arrest people. But for some reason, it seems that we've accepted that cops have to shoot people. You know, as well as when that guy was on the ground, that he had to be taped. You tell me two officers couldn't grab an arm each and bring it behind the
Oh, I agree with you, man. I agree. That's why you need this presumption of federal jurisdiction. That's the Geraldo plan. But what do you think about the cop, I think it was in Arizona, who ran down the guy with the gun? You see that video? What did you think of that?
I didn't see that video. The guy had a gun, you know, that's what
he had a gun. He was pointing it at his head. He shot around in the air. I think the cop did a brilliant job, and cops usually do. I appreciate your call. And yes, sometimes there's excessive force. News out of Fall River, Massachusetts.
Yeah, well, you know, earlier today, we, of course, listened to the verdict. Aaron and Hernandez found guilty of murder in that case up in Fall River, Massachusetts. Quick, victim impact statements done already this morning, and now a judge has sentenced Hernandez to life in prison without parole.
Life in prison, as we expected, without parole. The jury has found him guilty. I thought he was guilty. I didn't know they were going to convict him. But I thought he was guilty from the get-go, and I also thought he was almost gratuitously self-destructive. I mean, to hang with those thugs. Why do you have to hang with those thugs? He lived in a mansion, a gorgeous girlfriend. Why do you hang around with gangbangers? Why do you, you know, you go to clubs back and like all these basketball players and stuff. Why do you do that? What is in your mind? I mean, are you going to get kidnapped? I mean, what's in your mind that you live a life where, despite all the trappings of great success in this magnificent country, you still want to go around being the thug? It's like, I don't get it. I really don't get how. Well, first of all, I think that all these guys should get mandatory kind of counseling. They should all have like individual personality coaches or whatever you call it, society coaches. Tell people, you know, how to transition. Had to live.
Well, not to sound like Dr. Phil, but I think that's what you hit it right on the nail. I think it's in your head. You know, here they are. They work so hard to get out of their situation, especially in Aaron Hernandez's case. He had an awful situation at home. He gets out of it, a $40 million deal, but in his head he doesn't relieve it for some reason, that he still lives back in the old hood.
$40 million bucks. Here's Linda in Princeton. Hi, Linda. Thanks for calling.
Hola, Geraldo. Buenas tardes.
Buenas tardes.
Listen, I want to ask your opinion of something. I don't have a TV, but I've been listening to the coverage of the Walter Scott shooting. I do not understand, for his own safety, why Officer Schlager didn't radio for backup and then secure the passenger in Mr. Scott's car before he ran after Mr. Scott. He didn't know who that passenger was. That passenger could have had a weapon and could have come after him going after Mr. Scott.
You're right. As it turns out, the guy was doing nothing. Well, either was Walter Scott. Why did Walter Scott run? That's, to me, I think, is where, Linda, we've got to spread the word.
Thing, but I think Officer Schlager was not.
He's got his hands full now. He's going to be charged with
something wrong.
I agree. He's going to be charged with tampering with the evidence. He's already charged with murder. I don't think it's a murder charge. I think it's a manslaughter rap, but he's really up the creek without a paddle. Officer Slager's going to jail. For how long? We'll see. I think it's a manslaughter rap. It should be. But why he made the calls that he did, why did the judgments that he did? I can see him running after the guy. I can see him once he finds out, I don't know what he found out when he called in, when he radioed in about Walter Scott, but he saw how hinky Scott was behaving, getting out of the car, getting back in the car. Then when he bolts, I can see how the officer says, oh, you got to see what's going on. I mean, just for the safety of the public, can't let the guy run off. And then they have the tussle over the taser, allegedly, and then the shooting in the back, the unforgivable shooting in the back.
But I still think that that's manslaughter, the way it came down. That's just me. One quickie here from Greenpoint. Tommy, what's up?
Hey, what's with you lately? Mandatory this for football players, mandatory that for a guy who shoots this, mandatory this. You want a nanny state. Listen to yourself.
You're well, let me ask you about my idea. All right, I got it. I got it. You made your point philosophically. Now, what do you think about my idea specifically? A presumption of federal jurisdiction.
Awful. Awful.
Well, screw you.
Well, he hung up anyway.
The sound of the city, Geraldo, where New York comes to talk, 77 WABC.
Welcome back. We've been talking today about activists and activism. Lawyers play a role. I did back in the day. Ron Kuby still does. That plus, he's represented some very high-profile criminals and purported and alleged perpetrators. And now he's in the paper for what? He's representing the sculptors, I guess, who made this this statue of Edward Snowden, the famed NSA leaker now living in Moscow. Someone made a triumphant 4-foot-tall bust of Edward Snowden, put it on top of a column in Fort Greene. It was there for a little while, and then someone confiscated it. Kuby's complaining.
Not someone.
Wait, is it on there? You hear Kuby? Hello?
Not someone confiscating it.
Who did it? Use Gnome's thing.
So who confiscated your client's statue?
Originally the Parks Department.
The Parks Department.
Immediately they covered it up. They put a blue tarp on it like it was a set of bare breasts or something. Like, my God, we can't let the children see. Then they handed it over to the police.
I think they would have left the bare breasts over Edward Snowden.
And now it's sitting in the 88th precinct.
Oh, so it really has been officially confiscated?
Yeah.
It wasn't swiped.
No. The cops have it. It's being held hostage. I mean, the statue is buried in a police precinct. Snowden is in exile in Moscow. And look, I get it, Geraldo. They didn't exactly proceed in the normal way for the Arts in the Parks exhibition. I get that.
This is a statue they defaced. Revolutionary War heroes who died on those prison barges in Gravesend Bay.
First of all, there was no defacing. That is, the monument, the exhibit is perfectly fine. It was specially designed so it could be removed. And second, the issue was who is a hero and who is a traitor in a society in rebellion. Remember those Revolutionary War heroes here in New York who died on prison ships? They were considered traitors. And the people who punished them were considered loyalists. Remember, good British subjects, and the Americans were nothing but undefined, ill-defined rabble rising
up against
the government.
So you're comparing the United States of America as it currently exists with colonial Britain?
No, you really do too much talk radio, Geraldo. Of course not. I'm talking about this raises sort of a deeper meditation.
Is that an insult?
It is, yes. In this case, it was, yeah.
What's your cause of action?
I don't need a cause of action. They don't have any right to keep it. Like
they confiscated illegal statue.
You get your car taken away. It's parked illegally. You go pay the towing fee. You pay for the storage fee, and you get your car back.
Where's the constitutional issue here?
Fourth Amendment, Geraldo. They don't have a right to keep your property.